We live in challenging times, how not to sailor. No, I'm not talking politics. I'm guessing politics in a sailing podcast is about as desirable as accidentally setting your boat on fire with a blowtorch. Keep your knickers on. We never set the boat on fire in episode 28. Just a paper towel. And we had a fire extinguisher at the ready.
That's interesting, Bradford.
Anyway, what I mean by challenging times is it's getting real dicey to get to the boat, let alone go cruising. And that's okay. I suspect that might even be the case for you. Maybe you own a boat, but you have a lot of life stuff to take care of right now. Maybe you're still in the daydreaming phase. The thing is, unless you're a full-time cruiser, in which case, color me jealous, you're probably not on the water as much as you'd like. So, we just have to adapt. And right now, that's the case with me. Almost immediately after I launched How Not to Sail and sailed around Florida for season one, things started to get a little constricted. There's no way to take a month or a month and a half off at a time to go cruising right now. That's why season two and three of the podcast are so different than season one. Life, much like cruising, can be a mixed bag. And as I alluded to in episode 14, it's ideal if you can be happy wherever you are. Sometimes that's easier than others. There are undoubtedly going to be some choppy waters in the near term, but I'm grateful to be able to share with you the joy of getting out there on the water, traveling by boat, and making really silly mistakes.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, this episode I'm tickled stinkless to share with you a place the Admiral and I really enjoyed. I mean, the name literally means freedom. I can't say it's a great cruising destination because we flew there, but I'm seriously looking forward to going back aboard J.C. Sails. Assuming she's still afloat. How Not to Sail. Sponsored this episode by our awesome patrons like Captain Don. By the way, membership will open back up on June 6th. And the book, How Not to Sail, which even I can find easily at hownottosail.com.
I termed a certain blank number, and you said, do you want to party? You want to go somewhere? I said, I want to go somewhere.
Freedom, Elutra. The land of freedom. That's what it means. My name is Francis. I run and operate the Front Porch Restaurant along with my partner Gina and my daughter Rain.
That was my favorite restaurant, was the Front Porch.
I have to forewarn you, the Front Porch is not one of those thrifty, cruiser-priced restaurants. But I doubt we'll ever visit Eleuthera without eating there. Even if we don't have a rental car, the Front Porch overlooks a very protected harbor that I suspect we'll be dropping the hook in.
Right here, we're in Hatchet Bay. Allistown, Hatchet Bay, whichever one you want to call it.
The owner was incredible.
If it ain't love, I like cooking. You know, I cook in memory of my mom, you know. She really got all my basics from her.
Right,
she teach me how to love, so I cook with love. So
nice.
I represent her.
Eleuthera is one of the outermost islands of the northern Bahamas. If you were to swim eastward from Eleuthera, the next thing you'd hit would be the country of Western Sahara, North Africa. But please don't try that. The first time we visited, we stayed on the Atlantic side of the island, which was the Admiral's favorite. Not surprisingly, the Atlantic side of many Bahamas islands will have more waves and a fair number of coral reefs, plus some rocks to deal with if you're wading in the surf. But at least where we were, the view was pretty spectacular. In fact, perhaps I'll include some pictures in the show notes.
The beach is gorgeous. And I could walk miles and miles on the beach and not see a soul.
You don't see many souls on the roads either, but that doesn't mean the roads in Eleuthera aren't exciting.
You mean the fact that they drive on the wrong side of the road and the cars are coming towards me as a passenger?
We're driving on the left side of the road.
That was super terrifying.
So the first time we went to Eleuthera, I'm getting used to driving on the left side of the road.
You're driving on the wrong side of the road, but the steering wheel is on the opposite side.
I wasn't expecting getting a U.S.-manufactured regular left-hand drive vehicle. Because what that means is I'm driving and I'm basically sitting over on the left shoulder of the road, and the Admiral is sitting there on the right side of the little SUV, right next to the oncoming traffic.
So I have no control over the cars coming towards me.
She's sitting there with no steering wheel and having to trust my sense of where the center line is.
Not cool. Super not cool.
The roads are not quite the same as U.S. interstate highways either. Even when we weren't off-roading, we were glad we rented a little SUV.
Well, it seemed like you're trying to avoid the potholes, huh? That's not possible.
There were a good number of potholes on the Queens Highway, which is the main road on the island. One other thing I picked up on is you might not want to drive right at sunset.
Okay, we can't see anything. There we go.
It can get really hard to see the road, and besides not wanting to run off the road or into other vehicles on the narrow highway, there's another hazard which is best avoided.
So as you entered into other townships, I guess they would call it, you would periodically hit a speed bump without a warning.
Hitting one of those speed bumps at 40 or 50 miles an hour is not a good idea.
You could take your muffler out if it's not hooked on by a coat hanger.
Which was exactly the case with our rental vehicle the second time around.
The road to the second place was a little cray-cray.
The second time we went to Eleuthera, we flew into the North Eleuthera Airport instead of Governor's Harbor in Central Eleuthera. Again, we paid cash for a little SUV rental to whoever the Airbnb recommended. And this time, it was a right-hand drive vehicle. While I was trying to not turn on the windshield wipers instead of the turn signal, the rental guy, who's just a local with an extra vehicle, starts to tell us how to get to the Airbnb.
The guy goes, yeah, go down here, take a left, take a right, take a left, a right, and you'll be there. I said, don't let him get away, and you went to him and paid him a little money to get us a little closer to our destination.
The guy was actually nice enough to take us by the grocery store and wait a few minutes while we got some basic provisions like coffee, water, eggs, bacon, and butter.
The supermarkets are not fancy, and you want to look to see if the items have expired, because likely they have.
I feel like the Admiral is taking some dramatic license here.
You just making this up about expired food? I didn't notice any of that.
There are some that really? Were expired, yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember any expired goods. I think maybe she's just not used to second or third world food shopping.
I don't make shit up.
Is there a polygraph attached to this thing?
Well, look, I just did a bleep.
At any rate, we got our few essentials and headed back out to the parking lot to meet the rental guy. Him or his son must have taken a minute to burn some herb, judging by the aroma around their vehicle. But hey, it happens. Anyway, they guided us back out onto Queens Highway, down towards our turnoff to the Airbnb. After we turned onto the sand track road, he motioned for us to pull over next to some scrub pines, where he gave us our final directions.
You go down to the house where the dog's sleeping underneath the truck and take a left.
I know this sounds like part of some redneck joke, like you're seriously going to give us directions based on a dog sleeping underneath a pickup truck.
But it was. The dog is always sleeping underneath the truck.
But before we could get to the sleeping dog, which was our final landmark, we had to navigate some of the most forbidding stretch of, quote, road that we'd seen yet.
It looked like we were driving on the moon. The craters, the potholes, the dust, the dirt. It was nuts. We almost lost the muffler several times, but not to fret. It was wired on with a coat hanger.
The place was worth the drive, though. Where our previous stay blessed us with a pristine view of the Atlantic, the second place in an enclosed bay on the island's north end offered some seriously peaceful kayaking and snorkeling.
There's no gorgeous beach, but there are turtles and starfish that move quickly, by the way.
This is where I have to make an embarrassing admission.
We discovered the starfish, which were very cool. I was concerned about losing them, and you said to me,
"They don't move that fast."
I figured the Admiral must be looking at a turtle.
Turtle, maybe?
I thought starfish only moved by slowly stretching out each arm, or leg, or whatever starfish have.
10 seconds later, we saw one shoot across where we could not catch it any longer.
Clearly, these starfish also have some kind of jet propulsion mode.
And I was terrified that we lost the only starfish that we'd ever seen. But then we saw another.
In fact, there are a lot of starfish in the cove, not to mention turtles.
There was this one spot where the turtles had been fed. It was too much for me. You hung out with them. I was out of here.
I was surprised how friendly the turtles were.
That they were awesome until about day 3 when they started nibbling on your fingers. That's not cool anymore.
I was snorkeling next to the dock when this turtle swam right up next to me and just stayed there looking at me like a cat pretending to really love humans. I wasn't quite sure what to do, so finally I just reached over and stroked its back. It totally didn't seem to mind at all. I think I may have reported to the Admiral about just a little bit of finger nibbling. Not surprising when people feed them. But I think the Admiral may be taking a little artistic license with that. We both came back with the same number of fingers we left home with.
I have all mine now. I don't know about you.
Yep, 11, just like usual. After driving all the way to the southern end of Eleuthera the previous visit to check out the very awesome Lighthouse Beach, which totally requires an SUV, by the way, on the second trip we drove to the northernmost part of the island to check out the site of one of the first European landings, which might well have been called How Not to Sail.
Yeah, I don't remember. Oh my God.
North of the
airport.
We
drove around forever.
I feel like the Admiral's off to the regatta again. At least I didn't shipwreck like those first pale-skinned visitors and have to live in the cave for years.
Preacher's Cave?
Yes.
Preacher's Cave was where there were some shipwrecks.
So there weren't actually any shipwrecks in Preacher's Cave, but there is a really nasty reef right offshore called the Devil's Backbone.
And it's a gorgeous beach.
I think the beach is up that trail there. The beach there was indeed pretty nice, and thanks to the local advice we got, we managed to miss most of the weekend crowd.
There was a tourist boat that came by, and of course you asked them for an interview.
I actually waded out to where the motorboat was anchored off the beach.
Do you have any interest in being on a podcast?
What?
A podcast. Mine is called How Not to Sail.
My pitch was accepted, so I stood next to the boat in waist-deep water and held my little Zoom recorder up to the captain.
Captain Smiley. I'm known as Captain Smiley, and I do Spanish Wells Sea Ventures.
Spanish Wells is a little island off the north end of Eleuthera, and apparently Sea Ventures is a mild understatement for what all Captain Smiley does.
I take people to feed and swim with the turtles. I also take people to feed and swim with the pigs. I take them to the sand dollar beach, the sandbank.
Yes, you did hear him say, swim with the pigs.
So which key is the one with the pigs?
The one with the pigs is right out in front of Spanish Wells. That's called Beach Patch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
We did not visit Meek's Patch to swim with the pigs, but we did manage to meet the Admiral's main requirement for any salty trip.
You got your beach.
Yay, I got my beach.
The Devil's Backbone, no less.
So, Eleuthera has beaches aplenty and wonderful people, and the supermarkets, if that's even the right word, aren't as bad as the Admiral makes out. But as with the roads, and really as with any destination, nothing's perfect.
Yeah, we had a few mosquitoes.
Especially around sunset.
like they were eating us alive.
It depends on the season, where you're at on the island, like many islands, and the time of day. Just do your homework and understand that at certain times, in some places, a screened-in porch is your friend. And this last thing I almost hate to include. We found the Bahamians to be, really, like people everywhere. Mostly very nice if you treat them the same. But wherever you go, by sail, by air, or whatever, try not to be clueless. If you look like a target, if you have your nose in your cell phone, if you dress like a pale, fat king in the land of skinny, not pale, not rich folk, well, you're probably operating above my pay grade anyway. But from our first trip to Eleuthera, just consider the cautionary tale of Machete Guy.
The machete guy almost got me.
I was driving away from the house to get some lunch when I noticed this guy walking up the sand road toward the house, swinging a machete. So I did a pretty quick turnaround, and by the time I got back and jumped out of the SUV, this guy was on the property, like he was doing something legit. Kind of nonchalantly, half-assedly, cutting the tops off of weeds or something. Not knowing what else to do, I kind of nodded to him like, oh, hey, Mr. Guy with the machete, who almost certainly doesn't belong here. Not surprised at all to see you here. And then I hustled past him down the hill toward the beach where the Admiral was. Thankfully, she was unharmed, but I'm definitely glad I hadn't left her alone with this character. Our contact with the Airbnb told me he was probably a Haitian doing some construction work nearby, not a Bahamian.
I don't know that anyone really knows, but they assumed.
The guy eventually disappeared, but apparently not before he cut one of the neighbor's kayaks adrift for no particular reason.
But I'd rather him cut a kayak than my throat.
Thankfully, one of the other neighbors swam a pretty long way out into the Atlantic to retrieve the kayak.
I was pretty sure we were never going to see him again.
I thought about helping.
But you didn't.
I was like, I'm just going to be another rescue that we got to deal with.
But eventually, the neighbor got back to shore with the wayward kayak. Machete guy stayed disappeared. And all was well.
So how's all good?
Again, just bear in mind, we cruisers always enjoy telling the horror stories. But don't let our one really juicy story deter you from visiting the island of freedom in the Bahamas. It's possible to run into criminal situations anywhere. You're also liable to run into mosquitoes and no-see-ums anywhere south of Virginia. Heck, I just had to bring the laptop inside right now to avoid donating blood to our local Georgia insects. So go. Do. Enjoy. And if you're looking for a slice of paradise north of the Tropic of Cancer, you can do far worse than visiting Eleuthera.
I've been in Bahamas all my life, and Eleuthera is special. Everyone is welcome. Let's come, let's respect one another, let's respect our age. We can live together and make Eleuthera what it is, the land of freedom.
Thank you so much.
Oh yeah, yeah, we enjoyed it as always.
I enjoyed
Ahoy there, How Not to Sailor. Don't forget to check out this episode's show notes at hownottosail.com/48 for photos from the trip, plus info on Glass Window Bridge and Glass Window Bar, plus our friend Francis's restaurant, The Front Porch, and all kind of other stuff about things to see and places to eat and drink. Thanks, as always, to our awesome Patreon patrons. Membership opens back up on June 6th at HowNotToSail.com/Patreon. Among other things, patrons will find the complete and unabridged interview with the Admiral we did for this episode.
Bradford goes, I need to go to bed.
Plus exclusive content and early access to pretty much everything I put out. And if you should happen to lose track of where to find the Patreon sign-up or the book How Not to Sail or anything else How Not to Sail, just head on over to HowNotToSail.com. And hey, tell your friends. Meanwhile, keep your keel off that devil's backbone, and I'll see you next time on How Not to Sail. Screwing up is part of cruising. Let me show you how.
I don't know. I don't make shit up.
Is there a polygraph attached to this thing?
Well, look, I just did a bleep.